Well, I'd like to ask you to pray with me as we prepare our hearts for God's word this morning. Father, thank you, as always, for your people, Lord, and for your word. I pray, Father, that today, Lord, as we receive the engrafted word, Lord, that it would truly change us in some way. Lord, that we would leave different. I pray that our faith would rise to a new level. And Father, that truly you would accomplish in us all that you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are wrapping up a brief series called Grace. The simplest definition of grace that really gives its true meaning is undeserved, unearned favor from God. And I want you to think about that for just a minute, because first of all, it is favor. It's God's favor on your life. And it's unearned. It's undeserved. See, some of you might be thinking, well, I wish God favored me. I mean, I'd like to be the apple of his eye. I'd like to be one of God's favorites. Well, I can tell you this, that if you are a born-again believer, then you are one of his favorites. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Another translation says, lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. You see, you really are one of his favorites. You're his child. And you need to understand that it is not dependent upon how good you've been or whether or not you've messed up or blown it. No, listen, it is undeserved, unearned favor. That's what grace is. Believe God for favor on your work. How about young people on your schoolwork? Believe God for favor on your marriage, for favor on your business endeavors and dealing with other people. Believe God for favor, not just with man, but I'm talking about the favor of God on your whole life. Believe God for favor on whatever it is that you endeavor to do for the Lord. Believe God that this year you're going to see God's favor on everything that you set your hand to do. See, what would you do if you knew that God would show you favor in doing it? See, what would you dream? What would you plan if whatever you did for God or whatever you did this year, whatever you had vision for, if you knew that his favor was going to be on you? You know, this year, as we started into this new year and this series on grace, I just haven't been able to really move away from the fact that a new year is a new beginning, and it is God's grace. For us, that's something very real, that his mercies are new every morning, and we have the opportunity this year to start out fresh and new with God and to see what God would do in our lives and through our lives. But, you know, every new year, it always brings new opportunities to succeed and new opportunities to reach goals. And with God, his amazing grace gives us the opportunity to start fresh and new and to fulfill his purpose in our lives, to see his blessings on our lives in a richer way, more than ever before. But you know what? It won't be long until we look back on this year and just realize, you know, whenever you look back, it always gives you perspective. But when we look back on this year, I hope that you're able to look back on this year without regret and know that it had the favor of God on it, that you had the blessing of God on this year. We probably all heard these famous words: for all of the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, what might have been. No, don't look back with regret, but instead, purpose to fulfill all that God has for you this year. choose your course. Don't allow life to just happen to you by default, but choose the course, the direction that you're going to take. You know what? If you're going to accomplish anything, if you're going to see God do anything in your life, you've got to have a direction, and you've got to make some choices. You've got to decide that you're going to start. You got to start something, right? You can't finish something that you don't ever start. And, well, unless you're talking about a fight, right? Y'all didn't follow that. I was always told don't start a fight, but you be sure and finish it. But that's another story and another message, all right? But you got to take action. One little boy kind of outsmarted his dad with this story, with this riddle. He said, "Dad, there's three frogs sitting on the bank." He said, "And one of them decides to jump in to the pond. How many frogs are left?" The dad says, "Well, two, because one jumped in." Little boy said, "No, there's three frogs sitting on the bank. One of them decides to jump in. How many are left?" Dad says, "Oh, I get it. There's none left because when the one jumped, the other two jumped too." Little boy said, "No, Dad. There's three frogs sitting on the bank. One of them just decided to jump in." The point of the story is that he never jumped. He just decided that he would jump. He never took any action. He never actually got up off the couch and did anything. So, you know, there's a popular saying today in our culture, and it's very appropriate for the people of faith. Start something. We need to start some things. Nothing gets accomplished sitting on the couch. Well, not much anyway. But we got to start some things. You can't finish if you don't ever start. So it's important that you start some things. But you know, a lot of people start some things at the beginning of the year, you know, those New Year's resolutions. And you know what they say about New Year's resolutions? They usually go in one year and out the other, right? They just don't ever really go very far. In fact, we're at day 31 of the new year, and about now is when, if they haven't already, most New Year's resolutions just start to fizzle. In fact, some of you, you're looking back already and you're thinking, "Yeah, I was gonna. And here's what I want to say to you. You see, it's important that you decide, and it's important that you actually take action, that you actually start. But let me tell you what's even more important. You got to finish. You got to make up your mind that you're going to finish what you start. Now, you know what? All of us have things in life that we haven't finished. How many of you guys have some projects at home that you're working on that you just haven't finished? Okay, how many of you wives have a husband who has some projects that haven't been finished yet? You know, Carmen and I moved into a new place. It's a new place to us, but it's an old place. And I got a list of about 100 things that I need to take care of. I mean, 100 projects. But you know what? Sometimes those projects just seem to linger on and linger on because we just don't ever seem to really get to some of them. We all have those kinds of things. Two brunettes. Right? Sitting at a table in a coffee shop, and a man overhears them saying, "Wow, 17 days. Only 17 days. And the man says, "Well, congratulations. What's so important about 17 days? Eyes twinkling, one of the brunettes explains, "Well, we've been spending our evenings working on a jigsaw puzzle, and it said 3 to 5 years on the box, and we did it in only 17 days. Yeah, I know. Finish something. So I decided to share this message with you. Actually, several weeks back, I decided I was going to share this message with you about finishing. And like many of you, I had some health and fitness goals for this year. And so I ordered some nutritional supplements, and I took it as a confirmation from God when the box showed up and it says, finish something. Because I don't know about you, but I've started that journey many, many times and not finished. A lot of things that I just need to finish. Now, there's things in this life that maybe it's no big deal that we started and we didn't finish. But when those things have to do with the plan and purpose of God in our life, we just can't give up. You know, sometimes we get an idea we're going to do something. I had one of those a few years ago. I had seen this sitting on a shelf at my mom and dad's house. Spanish, learn in your car. I'm going to learn Spanish. I'm happy to report to you today that I have learned Spanish. I can say buenos dias and no habla español, right? That's about as far as I got with that. How many of you had a goal this year that you were going to, well, read your Bible through? And maybe you already fizzled out. Jump back in. Jump back in. Play catch up. But a lot of us have some goals. We have some good intentions. And maybe we even started something new in our devotional life. Maybe we're going to spend a certain amount of time with the Lord. It's not enough to start. I'm telling you. By the grace of God, you got to finish. Here's one that, well, no oohs and ahs, ladies. I love it when parents bring their babies and dedicate them to the Lord. And we always tell them it's a parent dedication because you are committing yourself to raise your child in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to have them in church. You know what? Those parents are sincere. They intend on bringing those kids to church every Sunday and really teaching them how to live for God and to be a real Christian. But life happens. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of parents that don't finish the job of raising their children in church in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's so important, not just that you start. Oh, you got to dedicate them to the Lord. Listen, it's so important that you finish what you started. This time of year, some people say, oh, wow, you know what? We're going to start tithing. You know, the Bible says that, and all these people talk about how God's blessed them. We're just going to start tithing. We're going to start. And then they tithe for a week or two, and then they say, well, you know what? I don't really think it matters. It's not that big a deal. Let's not do that anymore. We can spend that on something else. We need that for something else, and they don't finish. Well, here's one. This is my little black book. No, it doesn't have phone numbers in it. It has wedding vows in it. And as a pastor, I stand in front of couples and I say, repeat these words after me. As long as we both shall live. And they say, as long as we both shall live. And they mean it. But you know as well as I do, a lot of people don't finish. No, trouble comes, problems come, and somewhere along the way, they give up. They quit. They don't finish. A lot of people come to the church and they say, wow, I like this church. The music's good and the people are loving and sweet, and I can put up with the pastor's preaching. I want to get involved here. I really like this church. And some of them even joined the church. We have a new members class that's going on right now this morning. And what a wonderful thing. And I want you to know, they're absolutely sincere. But did you know a large percentage of them won't be here by the end of the year? Because they start something. Maybe they become a member. Maybe they even join a growth group. But they never really get involved. They never really follow through. They don't finish. They just start. One more. Jesus said, I will build my church. Did you know that he doesn't do it by himself? No, he uses people. That's you and me, the body of Christ. That's how the church is being built. Ultimately, yes, it is Jesus who builds the church, but he always works through people. And you know what? There's so many people who say, you know what? I'd like to do something for God. They're like the frogs sitting on the bank. They never actually take that step and jump in. They just decide they want to, but they don't ever actually do it. And then there's a lot of people who jump in, but I can tell you this, if you're going to do anything for God, there's going to be problems, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be setbacks, there's going to be times when you feel like a failure. And a lot of people start to do something for God, but they don't finish. So important this morning that we hear the message. Listen to what Jesus said in John 17:4. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. All of us want to be able to say that to the Lord someday. We live under this amazing grace. But all of us want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because we have done what God wanted us to do. We've accomplished our task. We didn't get halfway and just give up. We didn't fizzle out, but we stuck with the things that we knew were part of God's plan and purpose for our life. We were determined. Now I want to tell you, it's so important how you finish. It's not really important how you started. It's one of the amazing things about God's grace. It doesn't matter where you came from or what your background is. And you look at the men and women of God in the scripture and the people that God chose to use. I'm telling you, you look at their background, a lot of them didn't seem like very likely candidates to be used of God. But yet he used them by his grace. But as you read the scripture, you will also see that there were those who kept the faith, and those who were strong and believed God until the very end. And there were also those who served God for a while, but they finished very bad. You see, what's really important in this life is not how you start, but how you finish. You can have a terrible start. It's like a race. You might be the last one off the blocks. Everybody else may be down the way ahead of you. But you know what? The only thing that matters is how you finish your race. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. Now, I hope that no fool takes from that then it's okay to goof around for a while and I'll just finish well. Because I'm telling you, most people never come back from that baloney. Real spiritual word there. I'm just talking the way we talk, right? But that's baloney. Oh, well, I don't have to serve God right now. I'll finish later. I'll do well later. No, but what we learn from that is it's not too late. We do have the opportunity to finish strong, to finish with God's grace, that we can do it by the grace of God. It's one of the amazing things about the grace of God is that it will carry you through to the end. Grace isn't just to get you started. It's not just to get you turned around, but it is to take you all the way to the end. God's favor on you is what will help you to be who God wants you to be. It's what will help you to finish the assignment that the Lord has given you. What does it take to finish with grace? You got to decide that you're never going to give up. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And there are many passages of scripture we could look to for this principle this morning, but this one just says it very well. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." He's the finisher of our faith. I'm telling you, he will keep us going, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Apostle Paul talks about persevering in our race, refusing to give up. I just want you to understand that what this really is talking about is that you just won't quit. What if you were guaranteed victory as long as you wouldn't quit? See, what is it that you're believing God for? What is it that you're trying to accomplish in life? What if you were guaranteed absolute victory if you just don't quit? You got to run with endurance. You got to make up your mind that no matter what happens, you won't stop. And you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the finisher of your faith. You got to know that it's his favor on you that will get you to the finish line. It's not just you trying to make it on your own. You see, none of us can be saved without God's help. And none of us can finish what God wants us to finish without his help. There was a time in Israel when the Babylonians had come in and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, taken the people captive. And then after many, many years, the people started coming back from exile. And Zerubbabel is given the assignment to rebuild the temple. Now, the people had started, but they got discouraged and they quit. You know, when Solomon first built the temple many years earlier, Solomon had all of the wealth that his father David had acquired for many years of victorious battles. And Solomon was what was the richest king that there ever was. And so out of this great wealth and great strength and resources, Solomon had built the temple. Zerubbabel and the people now have none of that going for them. They don't have great wealth. They don't have great resources. They don't even have a lot of people. What they do have is opposition, because a lot of the residents there in Jerusalem now are Samaritans, and they don't really want the temple to be rebuilt. They just like things as they are. They just want things to stay the same. So they don't have what they need. They don't have the wealth, the strength. They do have opposition and resistance. And an angel, a messenger from the Lord, comes and speaks to Zerubbabel. It's Zechariah chapter 4, and we're going to read 6 through 10. But he gives him a word from God, and I want you to consider it this morning as a word from God for you. If you have some tasks that seem too hard, some goals that you have just failed to reach on your own, maybe you met a strong opposition. Verse 6, he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Put yourself in Zerubbabel's place this morning. God has a plan for every one of our lives. Every one of us. There are tasks, there are assignments that God has given us to do. I mention this assignment, this task often because I think it is one of the most important assignments in life. If you are a parent, I can assure you that one of your assignments is that you raise godly children, so that you teach your children to know the Lord and to live for God with all their heart. Listen, if you're a businessman, I can assure you that one of your assignments is that you conduct business in this evil world in a godly, righteous way that is a blessing to other people, and that you help to send the gospel around the world. But I'm just saying, all of us have assignments from God. Most of you, I'm telling you, you have an assignment in this church, as a part of this church. But all of us have tasks and assignments, things that God wants us to fulfill. And so we can identify with Zerubbabel this morning. And most of us right away, we realize that we can't accomplish them on our own without God's help. I think it's important that we realize this morning that even when it comes to a godly marriage that will go the distance, you know, plan on growing old together, we need God's grace. We can't just do it on our own, but we need God's help. You know, grace always brings us to that place of humility because it is that place where we admit to God that we can't do it on our own. And if there are things where you're saying, yeah, I can do this, I'm going to do it without God's help, you are in trouble. No, we all need to acknowledge that without the Lord's help, we labor in vain. We always need God's help. So whatever assignments, whatever promises the Lord has given you, whatever you're believing God for, this is the word for you. He says to Zerubbabel in verse 6, he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, when he says not by might nor by power, he's not saying that it's not going to be by God's power or might. He's saying not by the power of man, not by the strength of man, but it's by God's spirit. You see, it is God's blessing, his moving, his working. It's God's help. That's what we need. We have to realize that it's grace. It's God's favor on us. It's his blessing. That's how we get it done. Joyce Meyer said, I discovered years ago that every time I became frustrated, it was because I was trying to do something myself in my own strength instead of putting my faith in God and receiving grace. Receiving a revelation of God's grace was a major breakthrough for me. I was always trying to do something and leaving God out of the loop. I tried to change myself and my husband and my children. I tried to get healed, tried to prosper, tried to make my ministry grow, and tried to change every circumstance in my life that I did not like. I was frustrated because none of my trying was producing any good results. God will not permit us to succeed without him. If he did, we would take the credit that's due him. Wow, couldn't have said it better myself. Church, we need to understand that a lot of the time we're frustrated with trying and trying and trying because we need God's help. And he wants us to look to him and to believe him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he has this thorn in the flesh, and I'm not really going to get into that this morning. I just want you to see that in this passage, the Lord speaks to him, and he tells him two things. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And then he says this, for my power, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, God does not choose the strong, the self-sufficient, the ones who have it all together and can do it all on their own. No, God chooses the weak, the lowly, those who are willing to give God the glory. I told you this a few weeks ago, but it just amazes me. I look back on my life and when I was a younger man, and I remember somebody saying to me one day, they said, Mark, you have a lot of pride. And I didn't receive that at all because I was very proud of my humility. I was certain that they were wrong. But I look back now and I see, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But I see how that I thought I had it together, that I had such pride. And I'm telling you, pride always keeps back the grace. And that's what we need to get it done. It's not by our strength, but it is by God's Spirit working in our life. How we need to be looking to God, looking to the Holy Spirit to help us to accomplish what we can never do on our own. But with the help of God's Spirit, listen, His power, His strength is made perfect in weakness. The Apostle Paul is such a shining example of that because we look at him as this strong man who was so determined, but he faced such insurmountable odds. It was impossible that he could have done what he did except for the grace of God. And you know, in your endeavor to fulfill God's assignments in your life and the things that you believe that God has put on your heart as part of His plan for you to accomplish, I can tell you this, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be opportunities to quit. There's going to be times when you don't have enough resources, just like Zerubbabel, to get it done. Listen to what Paul says, Philippians 4, 12 and 13. He says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, this was part of his secret, why he never, ever gave up, because even when, listen, whether it was good times or it was bad times, it was God who gave him the strength. That's what you got to know this morning, that it is God's grace giving you the strength to be able to finish, to keep going, and to do what God wants you to do. When it looks like there's no way, when you don't have enough, He'll give you the strength. Now, some people go to the other extreme. They think that if it's by the Spirit of the Lord, that means they can just go sit down, go back to the couch. That's not what Zerubbabel did. That's not what the Apostle Paul did. No, Zerubbabel kept working and working and working. Even though it looked like there was no way they could get the job done, he just kept working. And you need to understand this. God is the one that will do the supernatural, but he will not do the part that you're supposed to do. Amen. All of us have a part. We are co-laborers together with God. We do our part and God does his part. And we believe him and we trust him to do that part. But nowhere does the gospel ever teach laziness. No, we all have a job to do. We all have a responsibility as we serve the Lord to do our part. Listen to what Paul says about that. 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And there's that humility. And then he says, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. But I want you to see here that he says, I worked harder than everybody else. Now, to keep it from being prideful, he says, well, it wasn't me, but it was the grace of God working in me. But I want you to see this, though. He worked hard. And so, yes, we're believing that it is by his Spirit. It's by God's hand. You realize that whatever mountains are before you, whatever obstacles are before you, God can remove. But we have to be willing to do our part, to work, to keep going, to not give up. See, don't give up just because you don't see enough progress. Don't give up just because you feel like you haven't been given the right opportunity. Don't give up just because you haven't met Mr. Right. Don't give up because you aren't getting any encouragement from anybody else. Don't give up because you haven't seen enough change. Don't give up because you don't have enough resources. Don't give up because there's opposition. But be determined to finish what God has given you, trusting him that it's by his Spirit that he'll bring it to pass. You do your part and you trust God. In verse 7, he says, who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. You see, there was no physical mountain there before Zerubbabel. No, he's talking about a mountain of obstacles, a mountain of lack, a mountain of opposition. All of us have mountains before us that keep us from being able to accomplish. That's why so many at the end of the year, and especially at the end of life, have regrets and they didn't finish because they ran into a mountain and they said, well, what could I do? Trust God. Who are you, O mountain? Oh, we need to realize that our mountain is nothing before the Lord. He says, you shall become a plain. You know, I mentioned opposition several times, and I can just tell you that in ministry, Carmen and I know a lot about opposition. We've had a lot of it. And so when I testify to family and friends and other ministers, and I told Carla Porter Wednesday night, by the way, I said, I am so blessed. I pastor the sweetest people. They are so loving and kind. We don't have any stinkers. We don't have any of those mean old religious people that every church has. We don't have any of those. We're so blessed. I know what I'm talking about, because I've had plenty of the other. And you know what? Everybody I've ever testified, people in ministry, other pastors, and people that I've testified about that too, you know what? They always just kind of go, really? Because they've never heard of that either. What a blessing. But I'm just telling you, I know a little bit about opposition. And I have seen God remove opposition over and over and over. And whatever opposition, whatever obstacles, let me tell you, believe God. Trust God. He can take care of it. And you know what? Sometimes God doesn't remove the opposition, but he will take what the opposition meant for harm and turn it for good. Remember what he did for Joseph? Joseph is sold into slavery, then he's thrown into prison. Finally, God raises him up and uses him to save the whole known world from famine. And Joseph tells his brothers that sold him into slavery. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And you realize that when you face opposition, that God can turn that around for something good. I think about the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 24. He's been through all kinds of terrible events in his life. Everything from being stoned and left for dead to being whipped to being hated and cursed. But here he says in verse 22, he says, and see now I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Finish. Well, let me just make a couple of comments here. I think it's real important that you see this. He had all kinds of tribulation and trouble coming his way. You need to be aware. It's not a cakewalk. There's gonna be battles. See, some people get so disillusioned and quit because they thought it was just all gonna be a free ride. It's all just gonna come together so easy. No, there's gonna be battles. There's gonna be struggles. But he said, but I'm gonna finish. You see, you gotta have that determination. I'm gonna finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, this is what happened. It happened just as the Holy Spirit had prophesied. Paul went to Jerusalem. He was chained and bound. From that point on of his life, he was never completely a free man. Not on the outside, always on the inside. But he was never completely a free man again. He was always bound. He was taken until he finally even appeared before Caesar. But let me tell you something. Nobody other than the Lord Jesus himself has impacted the world more than the Apostle Paul did. And much of that impact happened after he was taken. And he stood before kings and Caesar's household and Caesar himself. How did that happen? He had opposition, but there was this grace of God upon him that enabled him to finish his race with joy. And I'm telling you, it may not be easy, but God is able to bring you through to victory. That when this life is over, that you have joy. Don't worry about the obstacles. God is bigger than any mountain, any opposition that you face. In Zechariah 4:7, he says, and he shall bring forth the capstone. The capstone was the final stone to be put in place. It was the finishing touch. It's done. Zerubbabel is bringing forth the capstone. And then he tells him, shout, grace, grace to it. You know why? Because it is God's favor. It's God's blessing. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. And you see, when God does it, then man doesn't get any of the credit. All the credit, all the glory belongs to God. And you know what? We need to be careful. You see, this is how you can know if your heart is really right about it. Are you going to testify? Are you going to tell other people? You're going to let everybody know that it was God, that you couldn't do it on your own, but that God enabled you. You see, if you got a marriage that lasts to the end, you need to be testifying and telling other people that it's God. If you raise godly children, you need to be telling other people that it's God that's helped you do it. Listen, if the Lord's blessing your finances, then you need to give glory to God. Don't ever touch the glory that belongs to Him. It's God's grace. It's not because you earned it or deserved it, but it's just God's grace. Verse 8 through 10, he says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hand of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of the temple, and his hand shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things?'" Here's what I want to say to you. You got to start where you are. And sometimes you just start with something small. But don't despise that. Realize that God can take little and make it much. Who can feed 5,000 with a sack lunch? The Lord can. Don't despise where you're at. As some of you were talking about marriage, and you're thinking, "Well, my marriage is a wreck. My marriage is a mess." Don't despise small things. God can raise it up. I'm just telling you, God can finish if you'll just trust Him and refuse to give up. We all start with small things sometimes, but you got to start and you got to trust God and realize that it's the grace of God that will bring it to pass, that will help you finish. One last verse from Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He was able to say, "I did everything that God wanted me to do. I finished." And church, every single one of us can have that testimony. Every single one of us. You see, if you just won't quit, you just won't give up, but keep believing and trusting God and give Him the glory. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You love us so much, just as we are, but You don't leave us there. Lord, that You desire to take us on. Lord, I just pray that this morning that new vision and faith will rise in the heart of Your people. I pray, Father, that whatever obstacles they face, oh, Father, that they'll realize that those mountains can be removed in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray for many, many great victories throughout this year, many changed lives. Oh, Father, we just look to You and we trust in You. We trust, Lord, in Your favor to be upon us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to come for prayer. And just know that even if you've failed, even if you'd say, "I had already given up," listen, God hasn't given up on you. That's why you're here today. In Ecclesiastes, it says, "As long as you have breath, there's still hope." I'm telling you, you need to trust the Lord, because out of the ashes, He can raise you up. Listen, God can turn it all around, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. God can move and work in ways that you cannot imagine, but you got to trust Him and you got to keep going. And I just encourage you, whatever it is that you're believing God for, if you need special prayer today, these prayer partners are here to pray with you. Maybe you came to the service this morning with a prayer need or request. I encourage you to come and let somebody pray with you. I'm going to dismiss the congregation this morning with a blessing, but before I do, I want to say to you very plainly, finish with grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.